irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. As you know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. A beautiful Sunday. Thank you so much for sharing this mental space with us here in the cyber world. What's up, guys? I'm your host, Davey. Of course, this is Dave's Good Vibration Station on LA Talk Radio, as I have said and always do, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. This is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. Now, as you know, we here like to inspire. We like to inspire through the power of clarity, through the power of believing in yourself, and, of course, sharing the information, the knowledge, the understanding of very wise people on this planet. We bring them here on the vibration station so they can shed a little bit of their light onto us. I would like to welcome the one and only Dr. Michelle to today's episode. Thank you so much, Doc, for being here with us.
Thanks.
No, thank you. First and foremost, Dr. Michelle is, where do I start? Media psychologist, celebrity psychologist. She has been radio personality, one of the top leading women in radio, since radio literally started. She's just awesome. She's just literally one of the coolest.
Aww.
Cool. Well, maybe not when radio started.
Wow.
When they first found frequencies, Dr. Michelle. No, I'm kidding. That is so mean. Well, you do got to make sure to tune into her every single Friday at 11. That's the AM PST, Pacific Standard Time, here on LA Talk Radio. That's Channel 1 on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Cannot miss her. She is such a gem. What an amazing, inspiring, just overall.
Wow.
You know what? You know what I love about you, Doc, before we get into the show? You know what I love about you that's just... Just touches my heart, and why I choose to have you on the show so often.
Why is that?
You are so pure-hearted. You are so true to yourself and to your listeners. There's so let me tell you. There's a lot of radio out there, right? There's a lot of internet radio. There's a lot of AM and FM radio, but so much of it is staged, is pre-spoken, there's already a written answer for whatever it is that person's asking. But you know what? With you, Doc, it's always organic. It's always natural. And most importantly, it's always from the heart. There's no, excuse my French, there's no bullshit from you. You're just like,
aww.
you're Your wisdom and knowledge is through the roof. You're such a, to say the least, qualified person to be, you know, giving the world psychological help and knowledge. But not only that, is you have such a powerful way of conveying it. You're so loving. You're so compassionate. Following. You have quite a following. Your following of people, always talks about just how understanding of a person you are, and how loving and how caring of a person you are. And those are the types of people that we ask for in today's society. And the reason why I'm boasting about you so much is because it's easy to become desensitized to the compassion, to people of light, to people that have an intention to raise the vibration of their planet. It is easy with everything going on, wars going on, having to, get to work on time, pay the bills, take care of the family, make sure. We become desensitized to the positive aspects of our human experience. We become desensitized to the Dr. Michelles that are literally right in front of our faces, because we are not of a vibrational signature. We're not open to it, because there's just so much going on, and we don't take enough time during our days to just woo-saw, to just say, you know what, I'm going to stop, I'm going to take my gratitude, and we're going to get into this. So, Doc, first and foremost, thank you so much for being on the show.
Wow, thanks so much for that introduction. That was, I'm blown away. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for saying all those kind things.
Well, it's so true, and, today's show is about being desensitized by the media, right?
Yeah.
Talk about a catch-22. Here we are being the media. LA Talk Radio is, of course, the media. But we are trying to un-desensitize you. We are trying to get you more sensitive. We are trying to get you tapped back into the heart space, right? So, Doc, you and I were talking last week about this. We were talking about how you said to me, when you were growing up, you remember you being a child, very young child, seeing they would broadcast the war on TV, right?
Yes.
And I remember you telling me that your parents would, they would have it playing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you and your sister would always, like, you guys would look away, you wouldn't like it, it was almost a natural, what I'm getting at is this youthful little baby Dr. Michelle.
Right.
Has this natural instinct to look away from they're televising, to the public, what they're mass televising to the public. So here's little, four-year-old little Dr. Michelle, okay, whatever.
Right.
And you were telling me how you remember, and your sister's a little older than you, so you remember you and your sister talking about how they would televise the war and how weird it was that they would televise the war. Sorry for ranting. I promise I'll pass the mic in just a moment. I'm getting up to this. In today's society, you watch the news, you watch the movies, you watch war movies, you watch everything, what's going on in the world, the president's decisions, this and that, and it's all about negativity. It's all about, painful, bearing through this, trying to bear to live, and so Mike is going to Doc. Desensitization, here we go. Why, number one, why do you think the media chooses to broadcast these images and recordings of such violent images versus they have the same opportunity of taking the same roll of tape, the same line of film, roll of film, and broadcasting something positive, something heartfelt, yeah, something light. My question to you, Doc, on the psychological level,
right,
why the desensitization?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think we all have a sort of a curiosity about violence. We all have a curiosity. Like you said, since they started televising the Vietnam War, it was weird. I mean, they used to...
Weird.
I mean, I was a little kid, so I don't really remember a lot of it, but it lasted a long time. So, you know, it's sort of like people become desensitized the more they view something. It just like, and we'll get into that as well, but I think there is a morbid curiosity that we all have. And when things are put in front of our face, we just sort of tend to notice it. And there is that theory, and there's a lot of research, and I'll tell you about two studies that are pretty cool,
okay,
about how we become desensitized. But, I mean, you know what a perfect example answer is to your question? Have you seen The Walking Dead on cable TV?
I have seen The
Have
Walking
you seen that
Dead.
Show?
I have seen The Walking Dead, yes.
Okay. So it's about the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Right. So the thing is there's that brave group of survivors, right, who are really just clinging to
exactly.
all of humanity.
Exactly.
So I would hope that a lot of people would identify with those people.
Wow.
But I mean, this show has so many viewers, excuse me, and it's getting even more popular. I mean, I think I was reading last week's, because I'm fascinated with the subject, last week's premiere set like a record of 17.3 million.
Yeah.
And it's really gruesome. I mean, yeah. I don't really watch it. I've watched a little bit of it for my curiosity. But
as have I. As have I.
I mean, it's grotesque violence.
It is.
And, you know, I mean, it's just gross, I think.
It's very scary. It's very scary. And to expose that to the consciousness, especially when it airs right before bed.
Yeah. Yes. That's right. And if there's kids hanging around, and, you know, adolescents or even adults, you know, I mean, there's like people who are being killed and hit, and there's blood and throats being slashed. It's really disgusting.
Yes, okay. It is.
And then there's the cannibalism part. You know, come on, give me a break. So
right.
I think for some reason there are two different, we're going to talk about numbing, but I think there's two different things. People have a morbid curiosity, number one.
Okay.
Also, it takes their minds off their boring lives.
But why not, why something so gross? Why
right.
not, like, why not, like, you know, why not watch, you know, one of my favorite things, you know what desensitizes me from the negativity is National Geographic Channel watching the dolphins and the whales swim.
And the, you're very and the, different
and the, and the, and the, and the, and the, and the, and the narwhals. I love
right.
those guys.
Right.
Right. Why can't we all? Why can't we just watch the narwhals?
Well, because maybe the narwhals don't sell as many advertising minutes.
But that's my point.
They don't get enough money.
That's my point, because there's been this molding. There's been this societal deliberate molding of a to expect a lower vibration.
Right.
That's my point. So this desensitization has literally desensitized the people to settling for violence.
Right.
So here we go. So here you have consciousness, which is such a number one, precious, number two, sensitive machine. Unit, beingness, consciousness, such a sensitive sponge that absorbs everything. So then you're deliberately choosing to, like, you know, it's like they, it's almost like someone with a greater knowledge than the masses knew that if the masses focused on the positive stuff and just, like, like chronically were positive people, then they would recognize that they don't need someone in charge of them.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
So now we're getting into a whole other thing, but let's stick to the desensitization, Doc. Go on. And by the way, I just want to mention, let's see, you were probably, the years that you watched the Vietnam War were probably like the, it must have been like the last, I mean, probably like the very last year that it was televised, because I was trying to think to myself, because I remember you saying that your sister, who's a little bit older than you, your sister would tell you how it was difficult to watch, and she said that she would say that she would, like, cover your eyes, and then both of you guys would, like, look away, you know, and that was, you know, that's like 1975 is when, around right when the war ended. And that's just, like, to think that from, you know, started in the 50s, that's televised all the way through this, through mid-70s, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, so you have this whole generation of people that's being desensitized to violence, right, to negativity, to death, to having this understanding that it's normal for the youth, for the children of a society to put their lives on the line to maintain a nation's freedom. Why don't we just talk the bitch out and, like, connect, you know, work something out.
Yeah.
Work something out. Okay, desensitization. Dr. Michelle, yo, if you just tuned into Dave's Good Vibration Station, you've done it at the right time. We got the one and only Dr. Michelle from LA Talk Radio's On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. She's live on the air with us right now. If you want to check her out, you can do so every Friday at 11, Channel 1, LA Talk Radio. But guess what? If you're tuned in with us right now, you're one lucky son of a bitch.
You are so funny.
Well, it's because we got, as I said, Doc Michelle with us, shedding her knowledge and wisdom of why in the world are we being desensitized by the media, by the movies, okay, can I say something, Doc? Can I get into another level of desensitization?
Yeah,
can
sure.
Can I drop one more thing? Now, we did not talk about this. We did not premeditate this before the show, okay? I didn't prepare you for this one, all right?
All right.
Desensitization. You know what is just effed up, and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, all those middle-aged women out there, but you, 50 Shades of Grey, what is going on? What is going on? Come on. Talk about desensitization. That's the same kind of shit that I'm talking about. You have people, all right, on one end, you have people airing, you know, showing, you know, people being blowing up and body parts, bam, da-da-da, and people being deaf. Then on the other end, you have, you know, women that have throughout their lives wanted a little bit more curious, maybe never really found when they were younger in their youth that, you know, curious spot that they wanted to. So then all of a sudden this movie comes out, this is hit, and re-sparks some little fire that they had from, you know, 40 to 30 years ago. And it's
right.
The same type of desensitization. You have this guy with whips and thinking that just because he's wealthy that she can... This is so messed up, dude.
Yeah.
And they're, like, into it. And they're like, do you know what I'm saying? No.
Well, yeah, I do. And I think, you know, it's just like,
why can't he make love to her first? Why can't he make love? Why can't he say, listen, I'm going to take you out to a nice seafood dinner.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you how much.
He's not portrayed as that kind of a character.
I'm messing
with
you,
Doc. He's a narcissistic control freak.
I know he is.
You're so funny.
But they shouldn't think that that's, they shouldn't, you know, the girl shouldn't be like, oh, they shouldn't think that's hot. That's what's screwed up. You want to screw up society? They think that guy is hot.
Look, it is sort of showing that, you know, it's legitimizing, you know, the bondage, discipline, dominance, submission. And a lot of people are into that. But, I mean, this guy is actually a really nasty control guy. I mean, he's off. Okay. But the thing is that, again, I think it has a lot to do with the desire that so many people have been, you know, swept away from their mundane lives, right?
Yes.
Into this passion and into this ecstasy, and you know, it just it's also got a little bit of that Cinderella thing. Only the thing is Prince Charming's not so charming. He's charming, but he's twisted, and he's a control freak. But it kind of affirms that fantasy that handsome prince is going to ride into our lives on his, you know, whatever. He's wealthy and he's perfect in every way, but he's twisted. And take us away from our ordinary existence. So I think that's what it is.
But why does he have to be so damn abusive? Why does he have to be? Why are they into the? But Doc, this is the thing. This is the thing. I feel in my heart that if the character in the book and in the movie was portrayed to be a lot nicer, there wouldn't have been an eighth as many book sales.
Right, and it wouldn't have as much because of the descriptive sexual.
But that's my point. But why? But why can't you?
And there I go back to this. Idea.
Okay,
of
let's hear it. No, let's hear it. I was saying, no, go back to your idea of having the fantasy. Let's hear it.
Of having the morbid fantasies, or having this need to escape, you know, by looking at other different types of lifestyles. So I think it's, again, it takes us out of our mundane. Why? I mean, you can't get upset about it. All you can do is, I mean, society is changing in that I think we are numbing out to a certain extent. In terms of,
but that's,
you know, the
not
50
good.
Shades of Grey, it's a fascination.
We got
it's
it.
It's just a fascination. And it's made this kind of...
But what defines a fascination? Legitimate. What defines a fascination? Why? Who? But okay, so but that's along the same lines of being like... that's along the same lines, you know, of being like... Like, okay, yeah. Researching, you know... gruesome death is just a fascination. Like, researching rape is just a fascination. It's like, no, there's something, like, that's wrong. That is in the human psyche, in the human consciousness, the human psyche is wrong. There should be, in my opinion, right, zero fantasy, including anything else outside of something that is love-based. I can understand wanting to have a little fun and doing something a little wild and crazy and, you know, Mile High Club or something, or, you know, woohoo, you know, yeah, being young, wild, and free and doing something silly and raunchy. And I can understand that and, you know, being, you know, sparking that inner little fun, little mischievous, you know, little devil. But you know, in a loving way, but there is a line. And what I'm saying is, if our society has become so damn desensitized to where it is one of the most watched, it's got like one of the most viewed movies, you know what I'm saying? It got like hit the charts, top of the charts, one of the most bought books. Considering the content, there's got to be something wrong with our society for so many people to have such a willingness, a fascination. Not only that, but invest their money, more importantly than their money, their time, their energy, their vibration, their consciousness. So many people, millions of people. That's all I'm saying is where did we get? At what point in society did we go from the masses looking at something like that and being like, wow, that is completely inappropriate. The children should not be exposed to that. And even us as adults should, you know, mature up and not have that be something that we look to for entertainment. Because there was a time where that was totally inappropriate and not accepted. So at what level of desensitization did that you know, scale tip, and then this new pendulum, or this, you know, the pendulum swings over here, the pendulum keeps swinging, you know, that new scale, and then it tipped into this new area of, oh, now the more disgusting it is, the more money it sells, you know?
Right,
the more money you get. So go on. I'm sorry, Doc.
No, I agree with you, and I think you sound really passionate about it, and I think it has a lot to do with the desire that so many of us don't, you know, we want something different, a world of passion or ecstasy and forbidden, something that takes us away from our, you know, mundane lives. So the key is how do we keep our lives from being mundane? What do we do to make our lives happier? What do we do in our everyday lives? I mean, we should have more programs, like inspirational programs like yours, you know, Dave's Good Vibration Station, to uplift people to a happier, you know, place that doesn't involve some of the negativity in society or the, you know, the pain and the exposure to violence and things like that. But what happens is we kind of shut down, and the more we become exposed to getting back to, like, you know, violence. You talked about the, you know, showing the Vietnam War on television. That was really kind of heavy. But what about all the violent video games and movies?
Oh, I mean, totally.
Right?
They're just a branch. It's just a branch off. Exactly. It's the exact same thing. And now, not only do you have on the news all the parents being desensitized by what they're showing on television, but then you have the children of those same parents playing the video games of, you know, killing other people and having, you know, the whole point of the game is to kill the other country. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, well, you've played violent video games, right?
Absolutely, I have. You know, you get together with your friends. You get like 7 bags of popcorn and, like, you know, crack a 12-pack of beer and play Call of Duty for 4 hours. It's a blast.
That's right.
But, but I will tell you, if you keep playing that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, hours a day, 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 you are going to get desensitized.
Right. Let me tell you this. There were two really fascinating studies conducted. It was back about, I would say like 5 years ago. And they were conducted at the University of Michigan, and they showed that the exposure to violent media produces physiological desensitization.
Yes.
In other words, people who were continuously exposed to violent media, shows, games, you know, news stories, watching real-time attacks, things like that, actually produced lowered heart rates and lowered skin conductance.
Exactly.
So that means that they're mellower when they view scenes of actual violence a short time later. Jeez. And then another study came out, which was really fascinating, which I'll tell you about. This was really interesting. They had like 162 people participate in the study. This was amazing. And they went to a movie. They were adult moviegoers.
Okay.
All right. So what happened is the researchers staged this minor emergency outside the theater. It was like where a woman with a bandaged ankle. It was all fake. She had crutches. Accidentally dropped her crutches and fell and struggled to receive them, and she was going through this big act. And the researchers timed how long it took the people in the movie, who came out of the movie, to help her or help her get her crutches. Half of the people were tested before they went into the theater to establish the helpfulness of people attending violent versus nonviolent movies. So participants who had just watched a violent movie took over 26% longer to help this woman than, you know, either people going into the theater or people who had just watched a peaceful, fun movie, a lighthearted movie.
Right.
So, yeah, so they became sort of desensitized right after watching this violent, hurtful movie. Less people were willing to help this actress. They didn't know she was faking it.
Right.
Who supposedly was in pain and dropped her crutches and was falling. People would just walk around her. And I'm telling you, it was a fascinating story.
That's why here on the Vibration Station, I am so adamant about trying to plant seeds in the people, in my listeners. You know, I want to plant seeds and just say that, do you not think that the government knows these studies? Okay. Now I'm not a conspiracy government. But it's not. It's conspiracy. Yeah. It's science.
Right.
Do you not think that the people in power know this?
Yes. But what would be the benefit of that?
I literally could go on. Okay, this is huge. This is a whole other show. Wars, exposure to disease, exposure to control, having an easier ability to control the people because they are desensitized and already are expecting violence. They have a slower reaction time to violence over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So basically, they're becoming robots.
Yeah.
They're becoming desensitized robots that do say buy, purchase whatever is put in front of their faces. That's the motive of desensitization, is to literally to kill any originality and to replace it with these ideas of you need to buy this to be whole, you need to watch this to be up and understanding with what's going on with the world, you need to be understanding of the consequences of your actions if you do this, you need to be practical and know that you don't receive without working hard, you will not become anything if you don't break your back while doing it. These are all ideals that have been instilled over the years that people have just never taken a second thought at and said, wait, maybe there is another approach. Maybe there is a much more effortless, easier, fun, loving, compassionate, abundant, clarity-inspired approach than, you know, just slamming it out and doing it the hard way. That's what desensitization is. It keeps people thinking inside of the box. That's what it's about.
I agree. And you know, on the whole, I so agree with what you're saying.
We're gonna get shut down, Doc. I swear, the vibration stations. I'm gonna get a letter from the government saying you better shut your mouth, or we're gonna kick your ass.
You're sounding a little paranoid now.
I'm kidding, Doc.
But I mean, you're right. I think psychic numbing.
Totally kidding.
Like a tendency for even individuals or even societies we withdraw attention from past experiences that were traumatic or from future threats that are perceived to have massive consequences, low probability, but it's sort of like psychic numbing can be a response to threats as diverse as like financial, economic collapse, risk of nuclear weapons, you know, pandemics, global warming. You're right. You know, it sort of desensitizes us from fear, from things like that.
Big time.
You know?
And, big time.
And it's very real that, you know, psychic numbing, you know, is it's been associated with, like, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, exactly. Right? Well, of course.
Right. We're exposed to these things. We get number and number for survival. And so we have withdrawal and behavioral changes when we get presented with something that triggers a reminder of the trauma. So we just become number. It's very, there's a lot of depression there. But I mean, you know, it's really true. I mean,
well, it's so true.
It's just very true to watch that numbing that's going on in our society.
And it's my question here, okay, is, and Doc, something that I wanted to ask you from the beginning of the show, okay, is what, and I know that we touched on it, we did already kind of talk about this, but I didn't directly ask it for the listeners, and we didn't get like a direct answer from the psychological wizard, right? This is the crux of the show and of what I need to know, okay?
Yes.
What effect does desensitization have on these? This is a loaded question. There's two questions here, okay? Real quick,
yes.
And you don't need to go into it big time, just kind of unless you want to, okay? What effect does mass desensitization have? Okay, well, no, let me request. What effect does desensitization have on one, the individual, and two, the masses? Go.
You're great. You sound like a young Bill O'Reilly. Go. Okay, so the individual, I think, again, it affects us in the way that we don't become present and aware of our feelings. There's a new, not new, it's been around a while, but a lot more psychologists are working with what's called mindfulness. And it's becoming aware of your feelings, of your thoughts, how you approach others, how you live your life daily. In other words, it's really focused on making your life better. So if you're not numb and you're more open and aware individually to how you feel,
yes.
And there's certain exercises and there's certain things you can do in mindfulness therapy to make yourself feel better and more alive, basically.
Right.
Rather than using this, you know, violent news, violent movies, video games, things like that.
To tune out.
To stimulate you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I think that's how it affects the individual. And people do shut down. We become, as it's called, habituated to feeling numb, and then we need more stimuli to make us feel real. Okay, to make us feel alive.
Right.
The thing is we can feel alive without that, but we have to go within and use certain tools. So, but
totally.
On a society as a whole, I think again, we're watching these programs, and even I love like the ID. I think it's called the ID Channel,
yes.
Discovery Channel,
yeah.
Shows. I love those whodunit shows.
Right.
But because they're fascinating. There's that morbid curiosity that we all have about why would a husband do strange, like poison his wife and,
right.
You know, pretend like, you know, all these fascinating stories.
Totally.
But the thing is those even desensitize us in a way because...
They do.
We have to remove ourselves from it, you know? So I think as a society, we just sort of go along with what's presented to us, and we will just numb ourselves out and watch something that is going to overstimulate us because we're numb to it. And the more we're numb to it, the more we become numb to it. So that's how it affects us as a society.
So true. So true. Doc, you're so wise.
Thank you.
No, it's so true, and I'm
you know, a lot of my work is based on what I read in studies, and you know, there's all these cool studies.
It's really amazing because we don't think about these things on our day-to-day, you know, schedules and our lives, day-to-day moments, moment-to-moment basis. We're just thinking about what's in front of us, what we got to do, how's traffic going to be, check the traffic report, da-da-da,
right.
You know, and it's just, as silly as it sounds, I mean, it really is one of the most important aspects of this entire life is understanding these fundamental core concepts of why, okay, number one, the people that are somewhat in control. I don't like ever saying that people are in control over you because there is no such thing as that. You are the ultimate creator of your creation and controller of your reality, right?
Right.
Through the power of your thought and focused intention, expectation, and belief. To for lack of a better word, control, the people that do have control in the world, you know, there's... Go on.
I wanted to also give you just briefly, which it's kind of contradictory, but there is a small upside to becoming...
I totally know. Feel you. Let's hear it. I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
I think I know what you're going to say, because yes.
What do you think I'm going to say? I'm fascinated.
Okay.
You're on my couch.
Now. Okay, now I am on your couch. I love it. I think what you're going to say is... In becoming desensitized, we don't react in such a fearful and scared way to the things that do expose, that are exposed to us, that could be potentially traumatizing. In being desensitized, we have that buffer of, well, I've already been exposed to this, therefore I am not traumatized by this. Is that kind of where you're going with it?
That's exactly right, and practically in the world, it's fascinating because I've had these long discussions with a family member. He's an ex-brother-in-law, actually, who had been here in Los Angeles with the police department as a lieutenant and detective, and he was exposed to murders, and he was exposed every day to violence. He worked down in a very dangerous part of the city, you know, so he was constantly being exposed to horrible things happening and seeing people do horrible things to other people. So he had to think as a detective. He had to be curious. He had to be non-emotional in order to, first of all, come to the scene of these violent murders and see these things and try to help people out. But he couldn't have his emotions involved because he was helping the people around him.
Right.
So he was, his whole thing to protect and serve, he was a good guy. He was one of the good guys. He really was.
Absolutely. So not one of the selfish.
As did a lot of his colleagues, as do a lot of, say, EMTs or firefighters. My dad was a firefighter, and he used to tell me about these horrible brush fires and house fires that he was a task force commander, as they call it. So he had to direct people as to what to do, how to put out the fire. He also worked with the helicopter.
That's amazing.
So you have to say, here's how we're going to approach this. But in the meanwhile, he also had to see people and rescue people who were burning and see people who didn't make it. But he had to act quickly and numb himself out to, oh my God, these people are dying from being burned to death. He had to act quickly to rescue. So people who are, you know, social service workers serve the public many times have to numb themselves out in order to be able to function and deal with helping other people.
That's crazy.
So I, you know, there's the upside of it because they couldn't get their job done if they were stunned and, you know, feeling and emotional. They couldn't say, you know, okay, let's all get into a circle. Let's all gather. Let me take you and, you know, I'm going to rescue you from this. So there's the upside.
So I guess you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And you just introduced a whole new aspect. So what I'd like to say to that and what conclusion that I just drew from that is desensitization should not be something that is forced upon the masses, okay?
Yes.
Desensitization should be something that is chosen by the brave few, okay?
True. Well said. Yes.
Desensitization is something that should be chosen by the brave that wish to put their life on the line and have to be desensitized so they can successfully carry out their job or their mission so they can save people's lives. Right? Instead of desensitizing an entire nation of people to where everything they do or, you know, they're little by little by little here and there each and every single day starting to not feel as emotionally in tune with the spirit source of them as they would be if they weren't watching this stuff.
Yeah.
So, wow, Doc, you just introduced to me, you just completely warped my perception, and I believe that that's a new thing. You can quote me on that if you'd like.
I warped your perception. I'm so glad.
That's true. I believe that desensitization should be reserved for the brave few who need desensitization.
Yes.
To follow through with their jobs, like firefighters.
Those brave men and women
who
protect our country in the armed forces.
Exactly. It should not be exposed to every man, woman, and child that chooses to turn on their television, right?
Right.
And this is, you know, this, Doc, the stuff that we're talking about here, it has so many facets to it. I mean, there's the you know, governmental kind of control aspect of wanting to pivot the collective consciousness into a certain direction. There's the aspect of, you know, the individual consciousness being drawn to, as you said, morbid entertainment. There's so many facets to this, but regardless to how many facets there might be, there is a solution to becoming a more peaceful nation. There is an inevitable solution to becoming a more healed and sensitive nation as the generations and generations are birthed and come about. Right?
I agree.
How do we do this? We start one by one by first of all introducing the idea that we are desensitized by these things, and then we take control, right?
We just
show different things on the media, write more positive books, feel more positive, talk more positive, don't talk about the war, talk about how people are coming together. Don't talk about how, you know, segregated people are. Talk about just whatever it is that makes you feel good. Let's start talking about it.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. I agree. Well said.
Oh, Doc, I love you so much. It is such a blessing and a pleasure to have you here on the Vibration Station with us. Oh, my goodness.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
I know that we stole you for a little bit longer than we had intended to, but I really, really do appreciate your time with us, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's always great to be on your show, and I thank you so much for having me on. As always, it's fun. It's really fun.
Well, it's you're just the best, and everyone, make sure to tune in to Dr. Michelle on the Couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11. That's the AM Pacific Standard Time here on LATalkRadio.com, Channel 1. She really is. She really is the world psychologist. She's just wonderful. She really is just wonderful. So I love you.
And next Friday, or this coming Friday at 11 in the morning Pacific time, I'm going to be talking about daring everyone else to be great. I dare you to be great.
And that's what we're
talking about. Yeah.
Wow. That is, well, can I pick truth, Doc? Can I pick truth? No. You know, it's a no. No, you don't have the choice. It's dare or dare. Your choice.
There you go.
On the Couch with Dr. Michelle next week. Make sure to check it out every Friday at 11. Oh, I just love you guys. I really, really do. And I wanted to say, listeners, lovers, creators, and friends, I'm your host, Davey, here on LA Talk Radio, Dave's Good Vibration Station. I would like to thank each and every single one of you for sharing your Sunday morning.
Morning.
Should I say afternoon with us. I love each and every single one of you. And make sure to always raise your vibration. Keep that positive momentum going in your consciousness. And know that you can be, do, and have anything and everything you imagine. Always unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. We'll see you next Sunday, guys. Bye-bye.
Motherfucker, stop asking questions. You're so nosy, this defeats the purpose. Close your eyes and let me be your words. Listen up, y'all, I miss those days. Chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now, I'm in another days, unconditionally missing y'all. And all the silly games like, will we used to play and see? How fast we could smoke, how to roar and burn our tree. But really, it was all about the good times. Doesn't matter if we had sacks and dimes. We got each other until the end of this rhyme. At least that's how it seemed, that everything was fine.